Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today on Health Suites, we look at the Ministry of Health's direction for the country to coexist with COVID. It is now more important than ever for our elderly to be vaccinated against other vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumonia and flu or even shingles to minimise the threats towards their health. And we take a deeper look at these next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. Today, we're joined on the phone by Dr. Carol Tan, geriatrician at the Good Life Medical Centre. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
This is a big question, you know, living with COVID, and that is the direction that we're getting right now. So maybe it's a great time to start talking about other ways we can protect our family, particularly our elderly. As Singapore learns to live with the pandemic, what advice do you have for our elderly to protect themselves both physically and mentally?
I think one of the issues that we've been facing for Singapore are the two big challenges. One is our aging population, which is the elderly, and also the other one is our chronic disease, both which is high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol. So these two factors actually increase our risk of infection, not just COVID, but any other infections, of which now we know pneumonia is the number one. Mm-hmm. So these are challenges that are not going to go away. They're going to be with us, and they're going to get even more important as the months and the years go on. So let's talk about pneumonia. Pneumonia is actually infection of the lungs, and even before COVID, it was actually the second most common cause of hospitalization and probably the third most common cause of death in Singapore.
Right.
But everyone talks about COVID vaccines. They actually forget that we've had pneumonia with us for many, many years, and that pneumonia is not just this virus called the COVID, that we have other viruses like influenza and bacteria like pneumococcal, which also have vaccinations and which are also preventable and which are very, very important to us, especially for elderly or those with high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I did not know that there was a vaccination for pneumococcal pneumonia. And to be honest with you, my grandmother finally succumbed because of the complication, the added complication of developing pneumonia while she was in hospital.
And that's the point. In Singapore, health literacy about vaccination, about prevention, is quite low. People always think prevention is just about eating healthy, less salt, don't smoke. But actually, in many countries, and that's why I'm actually overseas, I'm attending a big conference in Australia. Mm-hmm. In many first world countries, prevention is more than that. Prevention is about making sure that you eat healthy, get your vitamins, making sure your immunity is high. And it's also about getting your regular vaccinations. Even my elderly, I'm training in Australia, they know every year that they go and see the doctor and it's time to get my influenza vaccination.
Right.
They know that they need to get pneumococcal vaccination. They know that there are actually two types. So it's different. And I think in that sense for COVID, it has highlighted that there is this gap in our national preventive health strategy,
sure,
and that we need to catch up perhaps and maybe do better. There are actually stats now from Singapore that showed that even though we've had the pneumococcal, which means the vaccine against the bacteria, for many years, the take-up rate is only maybe 10 to 20% when it should be 100% for 65 and above.
Now, obviously, you're saying, and it's true, that it's not enough for them to just receive the COVID-19 vaccination. But something else that sort of cropped up with our elderly is the fact that there is a vaccine hesitancy. So how much how much convincing do you think they're going to need before you get them to take their annual pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination and their annual flu shots?
Yeah. Well, basically, if our health literacy is so low, and it is a big barrier for us. Giving up brochures doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I've given up brochures over the years and they just throw it away. Yeah, so printing it in beautiful colours also doesn't work. So I run actually, even before COVID, I started running mobile vaccination clinics where we do pop-ups all over the place, and we try and bring it nearer to the seniors and their families. And the lessons we learned, even for ourselves, is that you need to invest time and get to know the seniors. You need to explain to them what prevention is. It isn't just about shooting a needle into an arm of a senior. They don't even want it. Even when it's free, they didn't want it. So we have to spend time and explain to them that there's nothing to be scared about. There are a lot of questions that they do ask us, things like, oh, I'm very scared, you know, what about this? Will it last? Whether I can take two or more types of vaccines? So we need to actually invest in our people and not just assume that they just obediently will give us their arm and we shoot into their arm. We must explain to them why. I try and explain it to them that your white blood cells, we try and make it simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a doctor, I could give a really long-winded, multi-syllable thing about, you know, about immunity. Mm-hmm. But we try and explain it in simple terms. We tell them, well, you have white blood cells in your body. They are like your soldiers. Vaccines are like going for reservists. The war is not yet here, but it is preparation and it's rehearsing so that when you meet the real enemy, your white blood cells, the soldiers, know what to do. So we explain that to them and they understand and then they say, okay, we want it. We also need to do it in obviously all the languages that my seniors, Singapore, is for us is a challenge because you have to speak dialects. You have to speak Teochew, you have to speak Hokkien, you have to speak all the different four languages just to explain, especially for the seniors, that generation. They feel better when you do it in their mother tongue equivalent.
Yeah. Right. But it's not even seniors. I am very far away from being a senior, for the record. And I did not know there was a vaccination that I could take to protect me against pneumococcal pneumonia. It's certainly something that I would consider, given the fact that it is one of the top causes of death for those aged 65 and above. I mean, I'm not a senior now, but eventually I will be a senior. And certainly something that I want to be thinking about. So, but my question is, why are the elderly more susceptible to this pneumococcal pneumonia? And then how do we convince not just the current elderly, but the future elderly like myself to get the vaccination?
Well, speaking as a geriatrician, one of my biggest barriers is actually the belief that as you get older, that all this is inevitable. Yeah? Obviously, as you get older, your immunity is weaker. It's called immunosenescence, another multi-syllable word that we use. But the biggest thing I always tell my patients is there's no pill called hope. There's no pill called the belief that I can do something to change my destiny. Because our generation, especially for the seniors now, they remember that parents dying from pneumonia many years ago, you know, antibiotics didn't really work. They entered hospital and that was it. But that's not true now. We have good vaccines. We have good treatment. We know how to live long and live well. And I think that's the biggest barrier, that we actually need to get the message out there and say, so what if you are 70 years old? So what if you are 65? It doesn't mean that you're going to die from pneumonia. Let's just find ways to protect you. Protection is prevention, and prevention is vaccination, eating healthy. A lot of my patients don't even know, the families don't even know that actually the best thing you can do to prevent is not just vaccination, but just eating healthy. Some vitamins like vitamin D can actually improve your immunity. Taking more protein can improve your immunity. And it's only when your body itself, your own white blood cells are healthy, then the vaccines work even better. So that's really important too.
Okay, now let's address something that might just be somebody's worst nightmare, that you contract, particularly as elderly, you contract both COVID-19 and pneumococcal pneumonia at the same time. What could be the consequences of a double infection?
Well, that actually is quite a recognized phenomenon. You start with COVID and then you get secondary bacterial infection. Right. If you get both, and if your underlying health, that means you have, say, heart failure, kidney, diabetes not well controlled, then yes, you will end up in ICU. You will end up on a respirator. These are the worst consequences or complications of pneumonia. However, before you reach that stage, and that's there, I always advocate, and that's why I run my mobile clinics, because we want to send a message that don't fear that end stage. Work now today to strengthen your white blood cells, strengthen your immunity, rehearse them by getting vaccination so that you're practicing for the real thing. And then when it does come and you do come in contact with someone with COVID, you do come in contact with the bacteria, you can fight it and you can avoid that ICU respirator scenario that everyone fears.
Right. Now, I suppose this is a burning question then, because we're starting to hear about a second booster for COVID-19.
Yeah.
It hasn't become a national program yet. We've all had our first two shots and our first booster. Now the conversation is going to a second booster. Now, I think everyone is concerned in this current climate. How many can we have vaccinations and boosters? And is it okay to have so many vaccinations in our lifetime? Not just for COVID, but for everything that we might want to get vaccinated from?
That's a really good question. And I think that question is in two parts. Number one, should we get more than one vaccine for one virus, right? Like the COVID or... So that's one. Well, there's a fundamental difference between viruses and bacteria. For viruses like influenza and now COVID, the virus mutates. So the enemy keeps changing. So every year now, even for influenza, it is recommended, and this has been for many years, not just COVID, that you need the influenza vaccine every 6 months because the virus changes. So the vaccine also changes. So when people say, should I be getting the same booster? Well, the question that we always say is, boost with which vaccine? Of what season? Of what year? And then it makes sense because the virus is mutating. It is the same class, it's the same disease, it's the same virus, but it mutates, so you have a change in vaccine. So that is already something that's been going on for many years. We do this for influenza. The other one is, can I get some vaccines to address different diseases? This is, again, has been in place in medicine for decades, where you start off as a baby. It's called a life approach to vaccination. As a baby, you get 1, 2, 3 vaccines. Then when you are in Singapore, for example, when you are a young girl, to prevent cervical cancer, they also get a vaccine to prevent cervical cancer. And then as you get older, you move on to the different kinds of vaccines, be it pneumococcal, which is the bacteria, or you can go on to other vaccines which are now available. A lot of our army boys, 100% of them, they would have got the hepatitis B vaccination. So it's actually nothing new. And people do have many vaccinations over their entire life course.
It's interesting because, you know, when you're a child, you go through, you know, local primary school, before you even go through school, you're already starting to get vaccinated for polio and what have you, right? And then in primary school, you get your boosters and nobody asks you. You know, you just get it. Your parents will send you in, or the nursing officers will come in and inject the entire school on a schedule. Suddenly, we become adults and then we develop vaccine hesitancy.
Exactly. But I think maybe also at that time, we Singaporeans were not so aware. And it's not a bad thing that we should educate, hence my point about health literacy, so that people understand and they consent to having vaccines. When I do my community vaccination, my nurses actually do elaborate explaining. We actually produce videos so that people can understand, and we ask them, we say, do you have any allergies? What problems have you had? And I think taking the trouble to actually inform, educate, and then getting consent is not a bad thing. It's a sign that our society and country has evolved.
Sure. Okay. Now, what are some of the common vaccine concerns you hear from the current elderly? And how do you allay these fears?
Well, they will always ask things like, can I take the, for example, if I get influenza, can I take the influenza with the COVID? And we always say yes, but you must space it out, 2 to 4 weeks. And then they're always concerned about the fever and the soreness and all that. And we say, look, I tell them the truth. I say, if I told you that any vaccine is 100% without side effects, I'll be telling you a lie.
Sure.
And the reality is every injection, every tablet will have some side effects. So what we do is, rather than talk about the side effects, which we do mention, we also say, well, you have the right to refuse the vaccine, but let me explain to you the consequences or the possible complications that may happen if you refuse the vaccine. You have a higher risk. The first question you asked, which was a really good question, Clarissa, is that a lot of the seniors are getting admitted for pneumonia, even before COVID. Pneumococcal is a major problem. And so if you don't have a vaccine, that's fine, that's your choice. But then what about pneumonia? Everybody knows somebody who has been admitted, an elderly who has been admitted hospital with pneumonia and probably passed away from it or ended up being sick for weeks. So these are these are things we also remind them. Refusal is fine, but understand that as you get older, you are at higher risk, so you need to take action.
Yes, for anyone who's listening who still has elderly in their family who are precious to them, they've got to convince them.
Yes, so what we do is, that's why I started my mobile clinic. It's very hard in clinics to spend time with the relatives. So I started my mobile clinic because we're literally parked at the bottom of their HDB blocks, etc. Mm-hmm. And we run our clinics on weekends so that the families can come down. So we talk to the children. I mean, in Singapore, in Asia, oftentimes it's the children that we engage to persuade Ape Ama. Mm-hmm. Because Ape Ama, oftentimes they don't want or they're just scared. So they always defer to their children. And I think that's the right approach because you are reaching up to the families. And when you educate the younger person, they will get old, yeah? The only cure for growing old is to die young. So all of us have 100% chance of growing old. So we learn for our parents and we learn for ourselves as well.
Exactly. Because like I said at the start of this interview, I didn't know there was a vaccination against pneumococcal pneumonia. My grandmother went into hospital with a broken leg, and it was the pneumonia that got her, not the broken leg.
Exactly. Yes, it is a secondary complication often because they are lying in bed, and like you just said, right? Fracture, she broke her hip. She was lying in bed. As a result, she got pneumonia, and it's the pneumonia that is often the cause of death in Singapore for elderly.
Everyone has to convince their loved ones and their elderly and their parents and their grandparents, because that is no way you want to watch your relative go. Now, where can they get their elderly vaccinated once they convince them?
Well, the good thing is that in 2018, I think, Ministry of Health launched a national adult immunization schedule. And so most of the doctors' clinics, the GPs, specialist clinics like mine, we do stock the vaccines. The other thing that's really good about it is that because of the subsidies that the government has poured into making it affordable, that in truth, for example, if you're a pioneer generation and you qualify, the pneumococcal vaccinations can be as cheap as $10. Mm-hmm. You know, so it depends on your income and your age and all that. But it's really affordable now. I'm very fortunate that I work with partners like People's Association. So sometimes for the lower income, they actually raise funds and together we make it free for some of the sites that I work with. And that helps a lot too, because in this time, you know, every dollar counts.
Sure.
So I think it's a many helping hands approach. You can just walk into any GP clinic now, any polyclinic and say, I want my vaccination, and it'll be available and it probably will be quite affordable.
All right. So no one has an excuse. Current elderly
yes.
and future elderly like myself, none of us have an excuse. Now, before we completely run out of time, quick question. When should we start taking the pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination? What age?
Well, it's 65 and above, definitely, 100%. Mm-hmm. Everyone should explore it unless you otherwise cannot do it. But if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, or these chronic diseases, or if you have cancer, or you're taking steroids, then talk to your doctor, because if you are younger than 65, but you have some of these conditions, you should seriously consider the pneumococcal vaccination, because it is also indicated for the younger ones who are at higher risk.
All right. Thank you so much. This conversation has been quite enlightening, and I've enjoyed it very much. We've been speaking with Dr. Carol Tan, geriatrician of the Good Life Medical Center. Doctor, thank you once again. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You're with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.